So let's get started. This topic of Ger came up a lot in the summer, and I did some research on it, so I decided to do a series on it and share with you my conclusions. Because as Rabbi Jay was talking about, the topic comes up a lot in Chumash. The problem is, when you look at Ger and Chumash, it's like, here, let me share you a little file with you. Let me see if I can follow with this computer. I think we should do it. Here we go. Hope you see that now. This is from Al HaTorah. And you take the word Ger and Chumash, do a little Al HaTorah concordancia, and it gives you a little graph. See that? Twice in Bereshit, 12 times in Shemot, 21 in Vayikra, 11 in Bamidbar, 22 in Dvarim, 3 times in Yeshua. Got that? That's a lot. That's like some 67 times. Now, the problem is, every time it mentions Ger, it's never explicit whether it's what we call a Ger Toshav, which is a non-Jewish convert, and a Ger Tzedek. I'm going to use definitions two or three times just to make sure it's clear. When we talk about a Ger Tzedek, it's a convert, a stranger who converted. Got that? A Ger Toshav.
Rabbi, just, yeah? I can hear you, and I think people can hear you, but the sound is not great. I don't know if there's anything you can do about it, but I'm just sort of, it's a little bit...
Is that better?
I don't know. Talk a little more and let others respond. I mean, I can understand. I can hear your words, but it's really what everybody else has to say.
Brand new computer, so the sound should be good.
I was using brand new computer. We like old fashioned stuff. We don't go for the new. That's it.
Okay. How's my sound now? Any better?
Better. Much better.
Okay. The camera on the computer. Okay. Let's start again. But tell me if there's a problem, and I'll try a different microphone. Another camera I can try also. Okay, this here. I'll just do a quick test on my sound. That's good.
Everybody, are we fine? Let us know. Can you hear clearly? So please let us know if you can't.
I hear you guys fine.
You're still not great. Like back in Israel, you were much better.
Okay, I'm at home with my.
That's a simon. You should go back to Israel.
I'm on my flights tonight. Got to go home and vote and have my vote not coming. Okay.
Rabbi Lipak, maybe you need to be closer to the mic or something because sometimes your words are a tiny bit truncated. It's not like totally flowing.
That has its built-in mic.
No. Okay. And let me unshare my screen real fast. Stop share.
It's better.
And
it's deep, video, but it's better.
But video, how do I get a different video device? Is that better? Wait a second. HD give up camera. Here we go.
Better.
Give up camera. Here we go. And mute. I mean, camera should be speaker. No, microphone. HD web. Okay. How's that? Any better?
It is better.
You're better.
A little deep, but it's a lot better, yes.
Better. Okay. Let me put the camera where I can see myself. Any better? How's the camera? Okay?
Good.
Okay, let's get to work. All that. All right. Maybe better, not that much worse. Get this going on here. One way or other. Get like a pile of books. Put this up. Here we go. That's better. Okay. Now, let's get started again. I guess we'll restart the recording from here. Pretend to clear, we're supposed to start at 11:30 today. There we go. Now, this one has a what do you call it, screen, a touch screen. So now I can touch the screen, and that's what messed me up last time. Okay, now let's get started. How to get rid of the participants on the side? I'll figure that out. Participants, okay, I've cut that out. Cut that out. Close. There we go. No. Close. We can chat. Close. There we go. Okay. Now, I'll start again. The Ger is mentioned some 67 times. In Lashon Chachamim, now in rabbinic jargon, when we talk about a stranger who converted, he's called a Ger Tzedek. Okay? And when we talk about a Ger who did not convert, it's called a Ger Toshav. And that's going to be rabbinic jargon. The problem is, in Chumash, it never uses those words when it describes the Ger. Now, the Ger is done 67 times. Sometimes it says just Ger. Sometimes it says Ger Shebisharecha. Sometimes Ger Shebikirbecha. Ger Asher B'tochachem, Ger Asher Itchem, Ger Asher B'atzachem, HaGer HaGar B'Yisrael. I think, at least I think 12 different ways of saying a ger. Keger Ke'ezrach. Now, there's definitely a concept of an Ezrach. An Ezrach seems to be Jewish. Got it? A ger is someone who's a stranger. Now, when we go through it, it's unclear who the ger is all the time. Is it a convert or not a convert? Now, I want to share with you a screen now. Let's get this one on right. Let's hope I got that right. Okay, let me open up this one. Oh, please, here we go. And here. That's not the one I want. No, that's not it. Here. Oh, that's it. Should be it. Here. There's different names for the stranger. Here we have. Okay? That you should be able to see. My box is around. Here we go. Different names for the stranger here. Vavtem et ager. I think Rabbi Jay quoted this. There's a commandment, the Raita, to love the stranger because you are strangers in Egypt. Now, to our surprise, the rabbis claim, look in the Rambam, he claims he's talking about a converted stranger. But that seems right, doesn't seem to be shot. Why? Because what's the reason? We were strangers in Egypt. In Egypt, we weren't Egyptians. We were Ivrim. We were. So if we have to love the stranger like we were in Egypt, they were mean to us. They enslaved us. We were migrants. It seems like we're talking about a stranger who's not converted. No. Why the rabbis think that's a convert, we'll get to that in the coming weeks. There's, I think, a very good historical reason for that. Okay. Here's Ger Chasher Be'Artzecha, verse 24. Simchat Yom Tov, Ger Sheber Gebecha, Torah Had Yelechem, Ger HaGar Yichem. Got it? You can bring lots of examples. Now, I want to bring a proof that sometimes a Ger for sure is not Jewish. Okay? I want to bring one proof that sometimes a ger for sure has to be a ger toshav, a non-Jewish one, and some things he for sure is Jewish. Okay, so it says in Sefer Dvarim chapter 14, it says lo tuchol kol nevela. You can't eat a nevela. That's a kosher animal that was shechted the wrong way. If I got it right. No, it's basically non-kosher food. Could you give it leger asher b'sharecha tiknena v'ochela? Okay, you give it to the ger in your midst and let him eat it. All machado, or you can sell it, either gift it to a stranger, to a ger, or send it to an ochri. An ochri is an outsider, a foreigner. What's the difference between them? We'll discuss that also in a later shir. Why? Because you're an am kadosh. You're a nation separated in service of God. Okay? And then as with lo tfashav ki b'chalavim, less to do with milchus and pleshiks. Another topic. Now, so there's no doubt that this has to be a ger who is not Jewish. Now, I bring a proof. Earlier in Sefer Vayikra, in chapter 17, it talks about eating blood, right? A stranger in your midst can't eat blood. Now, is a non-Jew allowed to eat blood? Is that one of the seven ochelos? He can't eat every minachai. I think he can eat blood. But listen, v'yishish min hager hagar b'Yisrael. Hagar b'tocham, I'm sorry. Ashi yetzud tzayt chay ba'of, v'shafach adamof tzayt ba'far. And then it says, any person in the people of Israel who eats in a vela or a trefa, be he in Ezrach, a citizen or a stranger, he has to wash his clothes and he's tamei to the evening. Then has to be a Jew. Right? I can't say if you eat a vela, you become tamei. So, and if you follow the Rambam, but everyone agrees that a non-Jew doesn't have Tumen Tara. There's no Tumen Tara by a non-Jew. So this seems to be talking about a Jewish one. I'll give you a better example. Let's go back to here. In Shmot, chapter 12. Shivat Yemim Sorzo V'Sabitachem. You can't have unleavened for 7 days in your house, right? Ki Kho Chel Chameit V'Nichrotav Nef Shehi Badat Yisrael V'Gero V'Zach Haaretz. Any person from the people of Israel, be it a stranger or a citizen, a ger ezrach, what happens? Gets karev, if what? If he eats chametz. If he even owns chametz, got it? Now, if that's true, how can you sell chametz to a goy? All right? This has to be, a Jewish ger. Got my point? Now, Here's a really interesting one. In Sefer Bamidbar 15, I'm just giving a couple of examples, okay? This is a really strange pasuk. It seems like a typo. So there'll be a stranger in your midst, or in your midst. So be a stranger with you, or in your midst. And he wants to bring a sacrifice to God. And this one talks about if you bring a sacrifice, an animal to God in the desert, you just brought the animal. When you come to the land of Israel, and you have agriculture, then what? Then together with the animal, you bring flour and wine, called the Sachim. Chapter 15, right after the story of the spies. Now, in the desert, you don't have to bring nesachim, flour and wine, because there isn't any. You can't command something if you don't have land. In the land of Israel, you can grow that. It's available. But a ger who doesn't own land, I might think, what? He's not obligated to bring nesachim. So this tells you, even if you don't own land, and you're a stranger, you're also obligated. But I might think, you know, he doesn't have a way out, put it that way. He has the same thing. Now, we just had this pasuk in Yom Tov, b'samachta b'chagecha, right? Who has to be happy, or who has to make happy? You and your daughter and your servant and maidservant, the Levi, and the ger and the atonement and the manah in your midst. Is that a Jewish convert or a non-Jewish convert? I'll have a better one. Does the ger have to keep Shabbos? Someone tell me what you think. Does the ger have to keep Shabbos? You ever see the Ten Commandments? Read the book? Someone tell me what it says in the Ten Commandments.
No, the ger doesn't have to. I just read something that said that a ger cannot keep a Shabbos unless he becomes a ger tzedek.
That's right. But read the Ten Commandments. What does it say there?
Ger chasher v'sorecha.
What, remember? Lo tasecho b'lacha. I think I have an extra habit here. Probably it's a different source there. Ger on Shabbos. Here we go. So, you see that? 6 days work. Yom Shabbat Lashem Elokecha. Don't do any work. Who? You and your son and your daughter and your servant and your maidservant and your animals and the stranger in your midst. Is he Jewish or is he not Jewish?
Rabbi?
Yeah. He had to be Jewish.
Go ahead.
He had to be Jewish.
Now, this, by the way, is an argument among the commentators. Okay? Is that talking about a Jewish stranger, a convert or a non-convert? Is it talking about what he can't do or what, or he can't work for us or he can't work for himself? It gets really, really complicated. Now,
it's a ger tashav. Do they mean that they have to follow the seven Noahide laws?
Yeah. So what's... Again, according to Chumash, are there seven Noahide laws?
Yes, or...
In Chumash, there are not seven Noahide laws. There's maybe two or three. And the question is, is Chumash written for non-Jews? Or are we obligated to enforce our laws? Are we in a position to tell them what to do? Again, there's a rabbinic concept of seven Noahide laws, but we're going to get to them. But that's not the simple. When we read this week in Parshat Noah, shofech dam, it's murder for sure, is something for all humankind, and not eating ever minachai. But the other ones, they're logical. But the question is, does God obligate us to enforce those seven laws on other nations? When I read the simple reading of the text. Now, I'm going to share with you an idea. I'll try to get straight. I'm going to give two more examples that are really interesting.
In Parshas Chayeshura, when Abram goes and buys the Machpelah, and when he dresses Ephraim, he calls himself a ger.
He says, "I'm a ger and toshav in your midst," Abram says, right?
Yeah.
Which means... He's not a Chevroner. He might have learned in Yeshivat Chevron, but he's not a local, right? He's not a local in Chevron. He's a stranger.
Does it have any halacha significance?
So we're not ready for halacha yet. At the first stage, I'm not dealing with halacha. I'm simply with Chumash. I'm trying to see what Chumash is doing. Now, two, three more examples to show you how confusing it is. Remember from Kol Nidrei night? You can, Rabbi, you can sing it. V'ni yismach l'chol adad. V'ni Yisrael. Continue.
L'ger ha'gar v'tochachem.
Is that talking about a convert or non-convert? Is that talking about a ger tzedek or a ger toshav? You all said it Yom Kippur night, right? Did we say it three times? I think so, didn't we? So what were you talking about, a ger tzedek or a ger toshav? Anyone know what the context of that pasuk is? It's a quote from Chumash. It's not just a quote from your Mitzvah. People have, most of you have no idea. Just for the fun of it, you know what the context of that is?
It's not ego?
No, it's not. It's close. It's in chapter 15 of Bamidbar again. It's talking about what's called Par Helem Dabar Shel Tzibur, when the Sanhedrin, or rabbinic authority in Israel, makes a mistake. And let's say they say that talking Lashon Hara is permitted. No, I'm just joking. Let's say they're asking that McDonald's is kosher. Right? And then they found out McDonald's isn't kosher, something like that. I mean, they made a sock of tuna fish. How's that? For a more modern example. And what happens? They made a mistake and they caused all the sort of sin. So the Sanhedrin, they have to bring a cow. Hold on. And if they bring it properly, God will forgive the entire nation of Israel, including who? Including the Ger, the Ezrach and the Ger. Now, how about Yom Kippur? Does a stranger have to fast on Yom Kippur? Anyone remember? Yeah, if you remember, you're laying on Yom Kippur. I'll share my screen in a minute. But by Tazot Lechem Lechukat Olam, Lechodesh Hashvi, Basar Lechodesh, Kanut Nafshutechem, Lechom Melechadot Tasu, HaEzrach, VaGeragar B'tochachem. We read it on Yom Kippur with the special Nigun, etc. Chapter 16 in Vayikra says what? Who has to do Inui? Who has to fast on Yom Kippur and can't do work? And is Rachel a Ger? Is he Jewish or not?
Yeah.
It's totally unclear, isn't it? Okay.
No, what's
Asher's asking, what's the definition of an Ezrach? Okay. Now, I want to claim, I think I can prove it. An Ezrach is someone who owns land in the land of Israel in the framework of Shemitah. Got it? And of Yovel. Meaning, there's a beautiful economic system in the Torah where all land is first parcelized when we first enter the land of Israel and conquer it to the 12 tribes, divided by families, and every 50 years we go back to the original parcelation of the land. And that's going to ensure that we don't get nobles and serfs. That everyone has financial security because you can never get too poor or too rich because you can't own land, you can only lease it for up to 49 years. In every 49, 50, 50 years, the whole economy resets itself and land ownership goes back to the original owner. Now, even if a ger can't convert, there's no way a ger can become an Ezrach. Because the only way you can become a member of a tribe is by being born to a member of the tribe. Got it? So a convert, by definition, can never be part of the Ovel system. He can buy land, but he's only renting it for 49 years. Or leasing it for 49 years. So, again, as far as reminding a ger about a ger, we'll deal with that later on as well. But that's the question. So I think an Ezrach is someone who is part of the Yovel system. And therefore, even if a ger converts, he can never become an Ezrach. And therefore, we're going to find numerous times in Chumash where we say the same law applies to the ger and the Ezrach equally. Even though, and we'll see different reasons why I have to mention it. I hope that point is clear. The Ger and Ezrach comes up, they come together as a point. Now, instead of confusing everybody, let me just give you my introduction and get my main point across. Because I think I'm going to clarify something that's really confusing. I was going through all the 70 times, and I thought to myself, let's differentiate between the obligations of Am Yisrael to the stranger and the obligation of the stranger himself. For example, when Chumash says, we just read about it on Yom Kippur, that what? That the ger has to participate in Yom Kippur. That's the obligation of the stranger. When it says the stranger eats blood, he's cut off from his people. Right? That's the obligation of the stranger. I'll give you an example. Paraduma. You know what paraduma is? Does a ger need paraduma? Let me see if I can share my screen for a second. Let me see if I can share my Tanakh now. I'm gonna give it a try. First time on the computer opening up the Tanakh. Let's see if it works. Let's see.
You're talking about a dead ger being accorded the ceremony of Egla Rufa?
No, not Egla Rufa, paraduma. Paraduma, I don't need what's up here. Let me put on, I gotta get my thing here. Here's a chumash. Here's a chumash. Let me see if this chumash opens up. Here we go. Oh, I have a chumash. That's good. That's paraduma is chapter 18. No, chapter 19.
In Bamidbar, you're in
Bamidbar. Yeah, let's go to Bamidbar. Let's see if I can get this working. Very good here. Let's find Sefer Bamidbar. Actually, it belongs in Lake, or it's in Bamidbar. Chapter 19, you said? Chapter 19. Let's take a look at it. Make it nice and big. Control plus.
Got Chukat HaTorah.
Okay, here we go. The Chibes Hosef et Ifra Para. The Tamei Ad Ha'aret. Everyone see that? Oh, I just lost it. What happened to it? We want here. Here we go. I was trying to move the pictures over. Here we go. Vayta la'adav b'nei Yisrael, l'mishmeret, l'meniach hatati, v'chibes Hosef et Ifra Parat v'gerav, vayta l'bnei Yisrael, v'lager ha'aretam v'chukat olam. What's that mean? A ger needs paraduma. Or what? Which means what? A ger can become tamei. Which means a ger has to be Jewish. Almost no one pays attention to this, correct? But the ger needs paraduma. Is that a Jewish? Is that a convert or not a convert? Again, I'm trying to show you it over and over again. Chumash talks about a ger and never clarifies is he a convert or not a convert. Okay? So now let's go back to what I was trying to share with you. What I did is as follows. This was that fun thing I did in the summer. I went through every single time we have mentioned Ger and Chumash, 67 times, and I differentiated between the obligation of the Jewish people to the stranger, got it? Our obligation to care for a stranger, as opposed to the obligation of the stranger. It's called a brisker chiluk. You understand what's called a chiluk in Hebrew? A distinction, okay? And it came out like a charm. Watch what happens. Every time, almost every single time, that there's an obligation of the stranger, there's maybe 12 or 13 times where the stranger's obligated. Whatever the obligation is, it's always in the context of the punishment of karet. And that was I couldn't believe that's how it came out every time. We're going to check that out later. Hope you're surprised. But whenever there's an obligation of the stranger in Chumash, almost exclusively, it's either explicit or implicit. It relates to a chiyuv of karet. Got that? Now, paraduma is what happens if you come to the mikdash and you're tamei, you're chayv karet. So it's a context of tumah. Yom Kippur, you're chayv karet. Chametz on Pesach, you're chayv karet. Correct? It relates to being cut off from the people. Achilat dam, chiyuv karet. We can see a whole bunch of them. Now, it's going to be talking about a Jewish ger. It's got to be talking about, why? Because whenever you have the word karet, what always follows? V'nichrat mi'amo. Now, you can't be cut off from your nation if you're not part of the nation. How could a stranger who's not a convert, first of all, how can we obligate him, number one? And how could his punishment be karet? Mi'amo. You know, we think karet with it. Karet means you're not part of the nation. You're off the team. But if you're not part of the nation, you can't. Now if a ger who's a convert is obligated in everything, then mention it once or twice and that's it. One mention only like 12 times. So the few times it does mention, some parshanim come and claim that there's a special shulchan aruch for the ger. I read even articles on it. What was the claim? The claim goes like, and Ebenezer alludes to this. I think he even says it, that if a stranger's going to live in our midst, he's got to be part of our society. So a stranger, if he keeps seven mitzvot, he wants to be among us and want if he wants to be included in Simchat Yom Tov, you know, if he wants our free nevelot and things like that, he has to fast on Yom Kippur, and he has to, he's got to keep Shabbos and things like that. It comes out to the strangest conclusions. Yeah. In my opinion, whenever there's an obligation of the stranger to keep a certain law, it has to be a convert. Why? Because every time there's an obligation for a stranger to keep a law, the punishment is always karet or in the context of a karet. Got it? And if there's a punishment of karet, he has to be Jewish. Now, I've seen even academic articles that wanted to claim exactly the opposite, that there's no way anyone can become Jewish if they weren't born Jewish. There's no possibility of conversion in Pshat, they say. Why? Because just like a Yisrael can't become a Kohen, right? It makes sense. If a Yisrael can't become a Kohen, if you can't change tribes, you can't become Jewish. There's no such thing. Now, there is no, we know about conversion from Miguel, Ruth Beidin. But does Chumash talk about conversion or not? Does Chumash say anywhere these are the laws of how do we convert?
No.
Nothing explicit. But I'm going to show you there is. And when you follow the words, there'll be a buzzword here also. Okay? And works like a charm. When here it goes like this. So again, there's certain like 12, 13 times, I gotta get the exact number, where the ger is obligated, okay? Where there's obligation of the ger to keep a law, but that, you know, that, and always in the context of a punishment, if he doesn't keep that obligation or that prohibition, he's cut off from the people. Logically, there has to be someone who converted, but then say how to convert. Now, numerous times it talks about obligation to the ger. In fact, there's a wide range of names for him. And I can prove some of them for sure are talking about someone who's for sure not Jewish, like giving him a nevela and things like that. Now, if you follow that distinction, watch what happens. There are three places in Chumash, we've talked about this many times, that talks about Jewish day-to-day life. I'm sure you're familiar with this. There's only three places in Chumash that have like a melange of laws that deal with day-to-day life of Judaism. It's right after the Ten Commandments, Parshat Mishpatim. It's the Ten Commandments followed by Parshat Mishpatim, basically chapters 20, 21, 22, 23 of Shemot, correct? Gdoshim to you in Vayikra, and maybe Parshat Bahar. You can include that. There's a range of laws there also. Okay. And the law section of Devarim from chapter 12 to 26, like the main speech in Devarim. It can even include the Mitzvah section. Even from chapter six. But in those three sections, which talk about Jewish day-to-day life, how we act as a Jewish people, guess what we're going to find? How we treat the ger is a central theme in all three of them. It's a mega theme in all three, as I think Rabbi was talking about in the beginning. And it's always talking about our obligation to the stranger, never talks about the obligation of the stranger. Got that? And every law section about how we have to behave as a nation, the focus is on our obligation to how to treat a stranger. And the simple reading is, it's talking about a stranger who's not converted, Kal v'chomer someone who converted, but even someone not converted, because what phrase repeats itself all the time? Because you are strangers in Egypt. Now, when it comes to Yom Kippur and says a ger has to keep Yom Kippur, it doesn't say because you are strangers in Egypt. Have it? But only the phrase, because you are strangers in Egypt, only goes along with obligations of the stranger and not the obligation of the stranger. Okay? Now, first I want to show you the logic behind it, what I think is. First I'm going to prove to you that there's a concept of conversion. There has to be. I thought there has to be a convert. And I want to show you how conversion begins. It's one of the first mentions of Ger. Let's take a look at, where are we? Let's share my screen again. In chapter 12 in Sefer Shemot, we have the laws of Korban Pesach, correct? So for some reason, in the laws of Korban Pesach, where are we? I think I have it right here. There we go. I think this should do it. This one. Ger, Gentile, wait, here. Ger, is that you, Gentile? Here. Here we go. Perfect. Let's start to discuss conversion. Go down a little bit and move you guys to the side. Okay. Here we go. Does the Torah discuss conversion? We have it there? Okay. V'yom Hashem el Moshe, Aaron, Zot chukat ha-pasach, nam rekob ben nechar ve'ochavo. A non-Jew can eat korban pasach. Now that makes sense. Why? Because they didn't leave Egypt. Korban pasach is we're taking God, we're taking us out of Egypt. We're saving us from the makab, the firstborn. Now, the final line, which I'm sure you remember, make it nice and big. V'chi agur yitchager, v'asa pasach Hashem. Should a stranger live among you? We see that this has to be a ger toshav. You follow? Should there be a stranger who's not Jewish and he wants to bring Korban Pesach, what does he need to do first? He has to do circumcision. Got it? And then he can what? Then he can bring Korban Pesach. And then what is he? Then he changes to the status of the Ezrach. He doesn't become an Ezrach. He has the status of an Ezrach. Okay, wait a second. Okay. That gives him the status of an Ezrach. Understand? Then what do we say? Torah achad yeh le'ezrach v'leger hagar b'tochechem. Remember this phrase. It's a giveaway. In other words, this is the process of how we become a ger toshav to a ger tzedek. Why? And it makes perfect sense. Whenever we have the phrase hagar hagar b'tochechem, and I'm going to prove that to you, a ger b'tochechem has to be a convert. And every time we find a ger who's obligated, almost every time, who's obligated and has a punishment of karet, it's always hager agar b'tochechem. Remember, v'nislach l'chol adav b'nei Yisrael v'hager agar b'tocham, b'tocham or b'tochechem. In other words, if he needs kapara for what he called, for a mistake of debating, then he's got to be Jewish. Otherwise, why does he need kapara? So, agar, which makes sense, b'tochechem is in your midst, it's among you. He's part of you. Now, how do you become a stranger? How does the stranger who's not Jewish basically become part of our covenantal community? It means a regular stranger is part of our civil community. He's a citizen. We need the same garbage collection. We need the same, you know, road, like a Jew in America or a Jew in any other country. You're a citizen of the country, but you're not part of a covenantal community, but you have civil obligations. And therefore, a stranger in our midst has civil rights and obligations, but he's not part of a covenantal community. If he wants to join a covenantal community, what do you need to do? Right? And which is symbolized by Pesach, because Pesach, let's see why Dafka Pesach. In order to bring Pesach, you have to become Jewish. How do you become Jewish? By doing circumcision. Now, if you follow this week's Parsha, right, circumcision is a brit, remember? The brit that God makes with that Elohim makes with Avraham Avinu, with Avraham's name change from Avraham to Abraham, it makes sense that conversion relates to Brit Milah, because Brit Milah was Avraham's conversion. That began in first conversion, then he had Yitzchak, and then the whole thing begins. Now, then he has the status of an Ezrach, but he's not an Ezrach. What's the proof? Next line, the same law applies le'ezrach to the ger agar b'tochechem. Because an Ezrach, a ger can never become an Ezrach. He can have the same status of an Ezrach, but by definition can't become an Ezrach, but he can't become Jewish. And therefore, whenever I have keger ke Ezrach, right, together, it's always a convert. A ger tzedek. Got that? Yeah. Now, let's go back to Korban Pesach. I mean, we have Korban Pesach, I'm sorry. How about Chametz? Where's Chametz? Is Chametz here? Here. Shivat Yamim Sor Liyum Tzebet Techen. That was earlier in chapter 12. Why? Kicho Chav Machmaitse V'nichon Nefesh Ahi Miyadat Yisrael V'ger U'Bizrach Ha'aretz. Why? When Ger and Yisrach come together, even if it didn't say B'tochechem, whenever I have Ger and Yisrach in the same pasuk, it has to be a convert. At my point? This is his obligation. Now, why would I think he's not obligated in Pesach or in Chametz? Because he didn't leave Egypt. What's this telling you? Even though he didn't leave Egypt. Now, let me tell you, my thing is a tremendous chiddush. I hope it is. Okay. Why is Chumash going out of its way over and over again to tell you that the ger who converted, his punishment for these prohibitions is nichrat mi'amo, he's cut off from his people. Okay. We're not being harsh on the stranger. What are we doing? We're being inclusive of the stranger. Because if you can be chayv karet, if your punishment can be cut off from the people, what's that telling the people? You remember the people. If you can bring Korban Pesach, even though you didn't leave Egypt, your ancestors did. And if I can have a chiyuv of chametz, even though my grand ancestors didn't leave Egypt. Got it? What's that saying? You can join the covenantal community, even though you're not genetically Jewish. Now, there's so much logic, and I can bring lots of examples through Jewish history, where we don't accept the stranger, right? He's not Jewish. We don't accept the convert because he doesn't have Jewish genes. Look, and Shidduch, you know what I'm talking about to this day. And Chumash is fighting that. Why? Because what makes us Jewish is our covenantal commitment. And if there's a stranger, no matter what his genetic gene pool is, if he takes upon himself the commitment of Avraham Avinu, of Brit Milah, Yot Lechel Elohim, he's our God, we're his people. If he takes upon the commitment to be an Ebed, to be in the service of God, then he has the same status as an Ezrach. Now, he can never become an Ezrach until we see until he's really good. Remember Yecheskel? Has Nachalot at the end of Yecheskel, we'll get to there. In Yecheskel, when he gives that Nachalot, if you remember, there's like 12, he gives that Nachalot at the end, we're going to reapportion the land. Guess who's section number 13 in the new Chalukah? There's one for the Gerim. There's the 12 tribes and the Gerim. So according to Yecheskel, when we return from exile, a Ger can become an Ezrach. So we have to deal with that. But let me get my key point across. I hope that was clear. But my claim is that what Chumash is doing, the reason why we mentioned it only like, you know, again, 10, 12 times, a Ger, why we mentioned the obligation of the Ger, it's always in a situation where I'm using a punishment of Karek to teach you to be inclusive of the stranger. Not to be stringent on him, but to tell the other people, if he can be, if his punishment is you cut off from your people, that means you're a member of the people. And it's teaching us not to be racist. Got my point? Being Jewish is not something racist. Now, it starts with the people, and there's halachic system, but now, therefore, in my opinion, the process of becoming Jewish, which Echad L'Chazal say, is circumcision. Again, what happens with women? That's the story of Megillat Ruth. And that's, we need Megillat Ruth for that. Because according to Chumash, if a non-Jew marries a Jewish man, they're married. As long as she's not from the seven nations and not an idol worshiper, she's Jewish. That's what happened with Ruth, right? So there's an official process that they'll come up with. But obviously he doesn't need circumcision. Now, but that's why Chazal say, obi tefillah, something like that. You need to do something symbolic. So rabbis logically come up with their conclusions. But the idea that a non-Jew can become a member of our covenantal community makes perfect sense. But it has to begin with a commitment to keep the laws of that community. Now, and therefore conversion exists in the Bible, and the definition is Hagar Gar B'tochachem. Now let's see some examples of that in Vayikra, because we're going to find in Vayikra and Bamidbar. Remember, in Shmot, we have the two cases in Shmot in the beginning of Korban Pesach and Chametz. Got that? That's the obligation of the Ger, but it's a Ger who's converted. Let's take a look in Vayikra in chapter 17. Let me open up a Chumash again. Where's my Chumash? Here we go. Let's put that here. And let's put the pictures on this side. And let's make it a little bit smaller so we can see. And let's go to Sefer Vayikra. You know what? Actually, let's go to chapter 15 of Bamidbar. This is a nice one in Sefer Bamidbar. Anyhow, look in chapter 15. Listen to this example. Okay. And here's another proof that there's two types of Gerim. God tells Moshe, saying, tell Bnei Israel, when you come to the land of Israel, which I'm giving you, and you want to bring a korban to God, Ola or Shlamim, okay, for keeping whatever promise, got it, for a reich nichlaf to God, okay, what happens? When you bring this sacrifice, you have to bring flour and wine, correct? You have to bring flour and wine. How much flour? You know by heart from David, right? Now, that law only applies when you come to the land of Israel. Why? It's because in the desert, there's no agriculture. But when you come to the land of Israel, you're chayav. Now, what's it say next? We have the whole thing. Yain the nesech for all different animals. Okay. Now, Here we go. Pasuk Gimel. Everyone have it? Sorry, I'm just using the Hebrew one. That's what they want to have now. I'll translate. Kol ha'ezra yase kacha et eile lakrib ishe rech mikach Hashem. Who's obligated to bring what? To bring flour? Any Ezrach, why? Because he owns land. Once you come to the land of Israel, and Ezrach owns land. What's this? A ger? O asher b'tochachem. A ger here is a ger tosha. O ger asher b'tochachem is a ger tzedek. I'm not going to prove to you. Ger tzedek. Meaning, a ger, whether he's a stranger or not. Remember, a non-Jew can bring a sacrifice, right? So I might think, because you don't own land, you're not obligated to bring nesachim. But no, I'm going to be machmir with you. And I'm going to be stringent on you. And even though you don't own land, you still have to bring things, because I don't want you to be treated differently. You follow? I'm not giving you, for your own good, I'm not giving you a discount. If you're going to bring, you have the same, by obligating the stranger to bring flour and wine with the sacrifice, we're saying we're treating you as though you're a Nisrach. It's in order to put him in the same group and not say, oh, you're not as important as us, and therefore we give you a discount because you're less important. Okay? And now listen carefully. Okay? Hakahal. That's the whole congregation of Israel. Huka achat lechem v'la ger hagar. Got it? That's the ger hagar itchem. Implicit. Got it? There's a congregation of Israel. The same law applies to the Ezrach and to the ger. Okay? That's equality of the convert. Got it? And if we say Torah chad mishpat lechem, yelechem, v'la ger hagar itchem. It's being emphasized, isn't it? That the stranger treat him like one of us. Be inclusive. Once he converted. Okay? Then it says we have law of chala. Then look at the next one. Here's the one we quote it in Kol Nidre. We do time, it's okay. V'chi tishgu v'lo tasu kol mitzvot eila shediv Hashem l'oshe v'atavah. This is part of the Adam Shal Tzibor. If the entire nation made a big mistake, not that, he brings the power. V'chi perak v'hoim v'nislach lehem, v'shkagahi. And the famous line, v'nislach v'chol adab v'nei Yisrael. That's the community, including who? What's that telling you? The convert is a member of your community. And if our Beit Din makes a mistake, he also needs kapara. Means what? He's one of us. Now, on the flip side, if there's a shkaga, what do you call it? You know, if there's a korban shogeg, he can bring. Got it? And then we have the law of what do you call it? Of mezi. Of megadev. Now, and then, and Megadev is what he called. I think it includes the Gehar also. And that's tzitzit to the end. Where's the Megadev? I think it's here. Yeah. But Nefesh is the Seber of the Adrama. Mumin Ezrach, Mumin Hager. Got it? If you Megadev, at Hashem Megadev, then you return again, Kyuv Karev. Got it? It has to be a Jewish convert. And he has the same obligations, and he can be Chayav Karev. Now, flip it around. Every time there's a chiyuv karet, almost every time, except for pigul and pitum aktoret, right? Other than that, every time there's a chiyuv karet, for us, we also mention the ger. You got that? It's not that I'm including ger. Every single time Chumash mentions an obligation whose punishment, right, is cut off from your people, it's called a chiyuv karet, that's when Chumash goes out of its way to mention the stranger who converted, got it? To be inclusive. There's almost every opportunity Chumash has to tell you that there's a prohibition that's really important, and it includes the ger, asher b'tochachem. I go out of my way to tell you, we include the ger, he's also chayav karet, to teach you, he's one of us. Okay? Not to be stringent upon him, to be inclusive of him, as a lesson. Now, let's see the same things in Vayikra. That's the main one in Sefer Bamidbar. And of course, all these laws belong in Vayikra. If you were in my shir in Sefer Bamidbar, that laws of Vayikra are inserted in Bamidbar, they all make perfect sense. Now, let's go back and find Sefer Vayikra, starting with Yom Kippur, okay? Vayikra Tetzayin, that's the first time we have the Ger in Yom Kippur. Vayikra Yom Kippur, what's it say here? Vayitazot lechem l'chukat olam, towards the end. There's my Bakare. Here, Pasuk Chavtet, verse 29. We finished the whole. בחודש השביעי בסוף החודש תנו את נפשותיכם, חום לתעשו, האזרח, I'm making nice and big, האזרח והגר הגר בתוככם. See, what's the phrase? הגר הגר בתוככם. We defined it by Korban Pesach, right? תורך את לכם לגר בתוככם. What makes you a גר שבתוככם? That's conversion. What's conversion? The rabbis have a homily, you know, that a convert brings Pesach right away. That Korban Pesach is part of the conversion process. So the rabbis are no. You only bring Korban Pesach at the right time. But there's a Havamina, I may have to bring Pesach as soon as I become Jewish to make up that. Just like I have to bring Milah, which is Milah, I have to bring Korban Pesach, which is Ben Aftarim. We'll do that in one of our Shiurim when we get to, when we do Sefer Shmot, we'll see. Actually, next week we do Sefer Breshit. Now, so that's the Yom Kippur one. That's in chapter 16. Look what happens in chapter 17. You've heard Shkut Echutz? Here. If you want to bring an animal, if you want to eat an animal, it's got to be a korban. Here. In verse 8. Pay careful attention in verse 8. Valiyam Tomat. Tell the people. Ish ish mi beit Yisrael min agar agar b'tocham. Got that? That's our Jewish one. B'tocham. Asher leo leo zavach. You bring a korban. If you bring an animal outside the temple, it's called Shvut Echot. If you bring a sacrifice outside the framework of the temple, Chayv Karet. Who's included? A Jew and a non-Jew. An Ezrach and a Ger. That's got to be a convert, because he's Chayv Karet. But it's another opportunity, a Chayv Karet, I include the Ger. Now, what's the next one? Let's make it smaller. Next case, we'll see one after the next in chapter 17. The ish ish v'beiti so min hager agar v'tocham asher yochol kol dam v'natati panay b'nefesh ha'okhaz v'dam v'ichvat yotom v'ker ramo. Another chiyuv karet, for eating dam. Now, a non-Jew can't eat ever min ahai, but he can eat blood. I can nefesh ha'basar v'dam ho, and I give it for you on the mizbech v'char v'nafshotechem. Got it? Alken amati divnei Yisrael. That's the people of Israel, but including Hagar Agar B'tochachem. That's the Jew. That's the Ger. That's a Ger who converted. See the phrase Ger Shabbatochachem? It's consistent. It doesn't say Ger Shabrikibecha or Ger Shabasharecha. Okay. Here we go again. Vish Ish Mivaisel Min Hagar Agar B'tocham Asher Tzud Seid Chayav O. Remember Kisur Adam. Okay, and that includes what? And again, a chiyuv karet. Okay? And then we have ifit in nevela or trefa. The context here is a ger shabatochachem, right? And Israel or a ger, he becomes tameh. That's got to be talking about a ger tzedek. Okay? That was chapter 17. Chapter 18. That's arayot, right? What's it say at the end? I think it's still here. Let me make sure. Here. Ushmartem et atem et chutem ishbatai lot tasu et mitvoy et eile. Hazrach v'ager agar b'tochacham. A chiyuv karei for what? Okay. This is a chiyuv karei, right? What does it say, chiyuv karei? The arayot is a chiyuv karei. It said so right beforehand, didn't it? What is toivot? So again, a chiyuv karet and it's a ger agar b'tochachem. See how consistent it is in the Ikra? That's chapter 18. Go to chapter 19, which now begins. Remember, this ends the Tuma and Tara section of Ikra, right? The Kedusha sections begins in Perikutet. And now we're talking about community. And remember Vafto Recha Kamocha? But look here. When you're harvesting your field, you know, leave over for the poor, remember? Like a Chicha and Peah. Who do you leave it for? Laniva la Gertazo, but Tamani Hashem Elokechem. That's any stranger, Jewish or non-Jewish, because that's our obligation to him. Remember Vafto Recha Kamocha? Look how this whole section ends. That's got to be a non-Jewish one, including a non-Jewish one. Okay? Don't mistreat him.
Yelchem Ager Garikem, Vafter Lokamocha. Kigir make them Eretz Mitzrayim. When we talk about our obligation to a stranger, it's again the reason Kigir make them, because you were strangers in Egypt. And it's not Asher, what do you call it? Betochachem. But treat him, what do you call it? So it's, you have to love him like you love the others. Again, this you could say, you have to treat a convert equally as well. Vafter Lokamocha. But either way, but it's all in the framework of our obligation to the other, but definitely not exclusive to the someone who converted. Now, what I want to end with, I think my time's almost up. I know it's sort of late though. What I want to end with, this distinction. So what I'm going to do now each week, I'll give you an introduction. What I'm going to do each week. Each week, I'm going to dedicate to one of the books, the Chumash. So in Bereishit, what's my proof? I think Rabbi was talking about it. The fact that the very first covenant that God makes with Avram Avinu, Kavit Ben Avtarim, the ger, that's the first mention of the ger on Chumash, isn't it? Yodot Edaki Ger Yazaracha. So we have to discuss next week, why is the very first covenant where God, when God picks Avram Avinu and begins the whole history and the covenantal history of the people, why is being a stranger, so essential to becoming a Jewish people? Okay. That's going to prove the point that Rabbi Jay was talking about when I was trying to fix my computer, about there's got to be something fundamental about how we treat the stranger as part of our defining our Judaism. Okay. Then we have, what do we have after that? In the book of Shmot, we're going to have the law section of Parsha Mishpatim. We're going to see the centrality of the stranger and how the laws of Mishpatim were presented. That'll be the week after. We'll see in Sefer Shmot, that and Korban Pesach, and go back to those details. And the Machloket Parshanim, how to understand that. The Vayikra, we already saw that. Why the first half, the two halves of Vayikra. Why the first half is one, is the convert. There's, why is Dafka the convert? The convert, the Tzedek, the big thing in chapters 7, 16, 17, and 18. The Vayikra, and why Dafka there? It'll also be shown Sefer Vayikra, but it'll help us understand Vayikra and help us understand Ger. Sefer Bamidbar, we have to talk about the idea of Tuma and Tara with the Ger and all the things that we saw in chapter 15. And in Devarim, we're going to talk about, again, the Ger, but the main thing we have to talk about is Shabbos. Is a Ger on Shabbos? That's so much fun. And we'll just do a whole Shiram Parshanut. And is the Ger on Shabbos Jewish or not Jewish? And is it his obligation or obligation? Now, is our obligation, is it Ger not Jewish? But we're obligated to give him a day of rest. But he wants to work, he can't work for us. He can't work for us, like our, it's because we can't have a Shabbos way, basically. But if he can do whatever he wants, he can't work for us. Or is it we have to give him a day of rest, even though he's not Jewish? Or is he chayav to keep Shabbos? You follow all the different possibilities? We'll see all of them in the Parshanim. It's so interesting. And it's such a great argument. It's in the Ten Commandments. And we'll see a great Ramban on it and Midrashim. And that'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, we're going to dedicate, each week we'll dedicate to one of each book. And we'll see the centrality of the Ger. And, the other title for the series I was going to use is, Strangers in the Bible Exchanging Status. Was that a nice title? But no one would have understood it. You know the song, Frank Sinatra song? Strangers in the Torah, exchanging status. Remember Strangers in the Night? This is a song, Frank Sinatra song. You have to sing it. Okay. That was my little joke. Anyway, act to finish here.
You're showing your age.
Okay.
Can I ask a question for clarification?
Yeah, sure, Sima, go ahead.
I have two questions. One is, I'm having trouble understanding the definition of Ezrach.
Okay.
When it comes to Ger, is Ezrach any citizen, whether you're a Ger who's converted
my point is, a Ger can never become an Ezrach until Yecheskel.
Can never become an Ezrach.
By definition. Because an Ezrach is someone who owns land in the Yovosel.
Okay.
You see the word, when we get to Vayikra and Bashar Bahar, we'll see that.
Okay.
The Ezrach has financial security. The Ger by definition doesn't have financial security.
Okay.
Ger can never become Ezrach. He can be Ke-Ezrach. That's why the Sukkim will go back to in Shmot by Korban Pesach are amazing.
And explains why it's the add-on. What's it doing? It belongs to the beginning of chapter 12. Why is it the epilogue of chapter 12 instead of in the beginning of chapter 12? Because it's the whole point. It's a special unit because it's about conversion, not about Pesach. Well, this was it'll be really interesting. We'll see. But those psukim define a ger gav b'toch achem.
Okay, so
that was the ger shah. Now the closest thing will be hakel. Why the ger is invited to hakel? We'll get that into Brahim also. That'd be a lot of fun.
Okay, just one more clarification. The pasuk in Bamidbar in Tetvav Yud Gimel, the Kia Guri Tem Ger O Asher B'Toch Hashem. Explain what's the O?
Okay, that's our Shirin Sefer Bamidbar.
Okay.
But that's a proof that there's two types of Gerim. Got it? Right?
Yeah, there's
ger,
differentiation.
O Asher B'Toch Hashem, Ger Tzedek.
Yes.
And that tells you a Goy, a non-Jew can bring a Korban, that we know. But he doesn't have to be Tahar. But even if not anyone who brings a Korban, Jew or convert, or not converted, they can bring a Korban, but they have to bring the Sachin, even though they don't own land. Because we all, in front of God, we're all equal. Equal obligation.
Fascinating study, thanks.
Okay, anyway, that's our little series. So I got a little carried away today, but hopefully next week I'll bring yourself back home, my own desk.
Yeah, Rabbi, you have a few little comments. If you want to just take a couple minutes, or maybe you want to address it next week, a couple comments in the chat.
Okay, so just read them to me because I don't have the.
Oh, you don't have them to you. Yeah. Okay, hold on a second. Let me go to the beginning. Okay, Ger not considered that they follow Noahite laws. Okay, I think you did touch upon that. Oh, Ger is not converted, but they follow Noahite laws.
Yeah. I'll read the on whether the Torah can obligate non-Jews.
That you mentioned in the beginning. Okay, yeah. Noahite laws for humanity, according to this week's Parsha. I assume that's the same thing. The question, Noahite laws, I'm not sure how it exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to deal with that. When I get to next week, we'll deal with that with Brishit. Okay. The Noahite laws, are the Noahite laws there for us to understand why we're chosen? The Torah tells us about the Noahite laws so that we can go enforcing these laws on non-Jews? Or are the Noahite laws there to appreciate why? Are they there to understand why we're commanded Lo Tirtzach? Got it? Now, it depends how you read the first half of Sefer Bereshit. Is it there to explain the rest of Chumash?
Okay. Asher picked up your thing on Ezrach. Okay. I thought you weren't supposed to remind a convert, Ger, that they're a convert. That's sort of interesting.
That's true, but in what context? But Chumash is mentioning it for their sake, you follow? First, I have to establish we accept them. So you don't remind him he is one to belittle him, but Chumash is reminding us that he's equal. Because when you're not reminding him he's a ger, that's saying, oh, you're just a ger. That's what you can't do. We're saying, even though you're a ger, you're just like us.
What I was talking about at the beginning, before you were, when you were getting on, that the Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shua, I said the end of the story. The beginning of the story, it's in the Mishnah, about Onah Ger. That the story of Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shua, it's part of the mission. It's the Gemara in the mission that says you're not allowed to remind a convert that he was a convert. You're not allowed to remind the Baal Tshuva that they once sinned, and you're not allowed to walk into a store and ask how much does an item cost. Those are the three examples of Onah. The Gemara says not only by monetary oppression, there's verbal oppression. And as part of that Gemara is a story when they excommunicated Rabbi Eliezer and the end of the which to me is a clear indication that Talmudic editors felt that the treatment of Rabbi Eliezer was ona'ah in that famous story of Torah Lo B'Shamayim. But anyways, we can develop that later. But now you mentioned, okay, Ruth's asking, can't the biblical ger be seen as a provisional Jew? He is like an immigrant. He is not a citizen yet, but he aims to become one. He has to keep the laws of the land while he lives there, of course. He's not a citizen. He takes, quote, the citizen's test and takes the oath of allegiance.
So we're going to see an Ibn Ezra, and we're going to see modern articles that say that. I'm going to disagree with it, but we're going to see that possibility.
Okay. You're born into a family. You have no choice. You can't adopt up, but you can choose to join a community. Okay. And you can marry into a family, become one of the family. Good. Okay. Those are just comments. If you suggest a meal is essential for conversion, what would you suggest might constitute conversion for women?
Okay. Of course,
there's no mikveh mentioned. Obviously, you mentioned mila, but you didn't mention mikveh. I assume you'll have to address that in another week.
Yeah. That's a whole series. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Gerd said it keeps Shabbos and he sacrificed Shabbos commemoration of the seventh day being a day of rest, but also in commemoration of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Those are, I guess, are the two points in the Ten Commandments, as is explicitly in the text. So Ger Tzedek is including in remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, even if his genealogical ancestors were not in Mitzrayim. Yeah. Another reason Ger can keep Shabbos.
And you'll pick up on that. You can see all the things Hashem makes Mitzrayim.
Right.
Once you joined the covenant community, you came out of Egypt.
Right. Okay. Ezrach can never buy land in Israel. I think you alluded to that. He can rent land for 49 years, like basically anybody. Exactly. It's not just a ger. Okay. I say this tongue in cheek, but only partially. It is so quote unquote Jewish. The way we include the ger is full inclusion with an emphasis on you're included in our suffering. Correct. Okay. Okay. Interesting. Thank you, Ilana. Okay, I then posted, thank you, Rabbi. We'll see you next week.
I have to, am I still sharing my screen? I think so.
Yeah, you are still sharing your screen. You have to unshare
it. It's like driving someone else's car when you're on your computer.
Okay, now you should be able to see the comments, I hope. Now that
now I can see it. Okay. Anyway, I have to go now. But,
all right, have a good trip back. Yeah. Vote properly.
I told you we pray. We don't pray that our candidate.
No, we have to pray. We have to pray. I won't say who I'm praying for, but whatever. Not now.
We pray that we had someone to vote for.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's okay. That's already part of the prayer. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Tomorrow night, please God, I just posted Rabbi Liebtag, Dr. Shapiro starting a new series. It's kind of connected, as I wrote on Zacharia Frankel and the Positive Historical School. That begins tomorrow night, 8:30. I put the registration link here on the chat box, and then we have our regular shiurim during the week, Nima Novetsky, Nava Finkelman, Rabbi Shulman on Daniel Malachim with Nadi Helfgott. This week's Parsha Shir will be given by Rabbi Gedalia Berger of Tinek. He spoke last year, gave a beautiful shiur. He gave a series in Eluzman. That'll be Thursday night, 8:30. And then, of course, my regular shiur on the Siddur. So we look forward to seeing you. Shuli Mishkin is not giving a class this particular week. Please God, she'll be back next week. All the classes are Eastern time. Remember, they're only 6 hours ahead in Israel, those of you in Israel. So the 11 a.m. classes are at 5 p.m. this week, not at 6. And the 1 o'clock classes are at 7, not at 8, just for people in Israel. And then next week, we get an extra hour of sleep on this side of the Atlantic, and we'll be back to 7 hours difference. Okay, everybody enjoy, and please invite a friend. Please invite a friend, let people know. We should hear good news from Israel. Unfortunately, there was a terrorist attack last night, and this morning there was a car ramming. I think 5 soldiers were injured, and we should hear good news. And I think, what can I say? Okay, everybody be well. Shavua Tov, and all good things, and we look forward to learning with you and your friends and in their future. Okay, have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. Bye-bye.